here, First Things First. We are now joined this morning by former All-Pro running back Eddie George. Good morning, Eddie.
How are you doing,
Eddie? Good morning. Doing well.
Great.
Good seeing you, man. Huh? Seeing you.
Great to have you. So much to break down and discuss from the game last night. Why don't we dive there right now? How did the Chiefs beat the 49ers? We'll take you back down to Miami for that. Jimmy Garoppolo, Patrick Mahomes, a lot of pressure on those two. Jump to the fourth quarter. Chiefs in pretty familiar territory, trailing again, this time down 10. Patrick Mahomes connecting with Tyreek Hill for 44 yards on the play. Four plays later, finding Travis Kelce. That's a one-yard touchdown. He's happy. Mahomes is happy. KC pulls within three. Jump to under 4 minutes left. Chiefs driving. Mahomes this time to Sammy Watkins for 38 yards, and then three plays after that, it's Mahomes and Damian Williams connecting for the five-yard touchdown, puts Kansas City up 24-20. The 49ers would get one last chance to get back in this. Jimmy G trying to find Emmanuel Sanders deep, but he overthrows him deep. Next play, fourth down. Let's get this. Jimmy G would get sacked. Turnover on downs. Jimmy with just 219 yards on the night to go along with two costly turnovers. And then two plays later, Damian Williams busting the game wide open here. A 38-yard score to help the Chiefs win 31-20, giving KC their first Super Bowl in 50 years. Eddie, we expected a close game. We got a close game. What do you think? Did the Chiefs win it or did the 49ers lose this one?
You know, I was on the fence with this one. I think the Chiefs won this one. I mean, we've seen this from them all playoffs.
Every game.
Single game against Houston, the Titans. I was at that game, actually. And to watch how they did it again in the fourth quarter with Patrick Mahomes on the line, not playing great in the first half, could have easily imploded, could have easily gotten caught up in the moment and really been rattled and faltered on that moment. But he was able to come out and make the necessary plays to be the MVP and find a way to win the game. So the Chiefs did it their way as usual.
Well, and you mentioned could have imploded. I got to be honest. I thought he was a little bit. When a guy has never thrown an interception in his playoff career and in the Super Bowl while trailing, throws an interception on consecutive drives, you were a little worried. Like, one of the elements of the Super Bowl you always hear about is that long halftime. Mm-hmm. And he went, I think it was 56 or 46 minutes mm-hmm. between times touching the ball. And the first possession where he touched the ball after halftime, he threw a pick. And it was a real process error. It's like there's a guy right there. He never makes that mistake.
Behind him, yeah.
And then, well, the second one he throws behind him. Mm-hmm. The first one he throws short. Yep. And then the next drive, he throws another pick.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man. Like, this is, I'm now going to have to deal with a year of people saying, yeah, but with Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what about that Super Bowl? And then it still wasn't looking great when they got the ball back. Mm-hmm. First down, incomplete. There's a false start penalty. Second down, incomplete. You're at third and 15 now. Third and 15, down 10, 7.5 minutes left. And from that moment forward, he was perfect. From that moment forward, he hits Tyreek Hill on what looked like an 11-step drop. He's just going backwards and backwards and backwards for Tyreek to get open. That was on third and 15. On third and 10, when they need a touchdown, he hits Kittle, yep. and they end up calling a pass interference penalty. The next drive, he has the Sammy Watkins play we showed you. And then I don't know if you noticed the Damian Williams play. That was third and five yeah. as well. They would have had to, if that's incomplete, they have to kick a field goal. You got to kick a field goal in that spot, tie the game. He was absolutely perfect after, for 52 minutes, was the worst game of his career.
Which is remarkable for a guy to be 24 years old, first Super Bowl, and that pressure situation to come out and make those plays was tremendous. And the Tyreek Hill play, well, that set everything off. That was their first play over, 20 yards the entire game. A team that's used to scoring at will, 70-yard mm-hmm. throws, 60 explosive plays all over the field. That was just really remarkable by Patrick Mahomes. So the Chiefs definitely won that game.
Yeah, to me, the Chiefs won that game, mm-hmm. too. I mean, I don't think that you can lose games like this. I think the other team has to take it from mm-hmm. you. They have to go out there and make the plays. And a lot of people in sports, you know, they have to realize that games are going to go back and forth. There are going to be momentum swings. Teams are going to face adversity. We saw that. The Chiefs had, a 10-3 lead, and then the 49ers go out and mm-hmm. score 17 straight points. And then the Chiefs have three consecutive touchdown drives. So, I mean, it went back and forth, But at the end of it, you trusted Pat Mahomes, if he had the ball and the opportunity, that he was going to be able to go out there and make some plays. And that's exactly what he did.
Make the case, though, for those who say that the 49ers lost this
absolutely.
Game.
Listen, there were you have a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter with the ball. You have a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter with the ball when you are theoretically the exact type of team that is built to take advantage of that.
Yep.
Let's pull to your career for a bit. Mm-hmm. You guys were, and you, by the way, Steve McNair is better quarterback, the late great Steve McNair, than Jimmy Garoppolo. So it's not like you guys couldn't come back if you were trailing. But the Chiefs are a team built to come from behind. The Niners are a team built that if we get the lead, we are going to choke you to death.
Yes.
And you were in that circumstance. And by the way, okay, so the first time you have the lead after the Mahomes pick, not the first time you have the lead, but when you have the ball up 10, that drive ends poorly, so be it. Chiefs get a touchdown. But now you've got the lead, there's less than 6 minutes left. Uh-huh. You're up 3. You run the ball on first down, you get 5 yards, and you don't run it again? You don't have a substantial run the entire rest of the football game, Eddie?
Yeah, and they were gashing the Kansas City defense. They were able to get some runs with the perimeter runs on the outside, hitting them in the middle with the power game. And to your point, that's 49er football, is when you put your foot on their throat, they're going to crush it. And for Jimmy G, they didn't protect him enough with the run. They should have continued to run the football, allow him to rely on the play action game, because he was making a lot of decent throws when the play action was effective with the run game. But they got 49ers' best shot. They were able to, on defense, they were able to get a 4-man rush to Patrick Mahomes, really disrupt his flow. They were able to run the football. They were okay on third downs. But they didn't finish the job by not running the football effectively enough for Jimmy G to win that game, to close the game out.
Which is really surprising because in the fourth quarter, when you have a double-digit lead, the game is no longer against the Chiefs. The game is against the clock. And you got to try to run the football, and that's the strength of your offense. Your offensive strength isn't your quarterback dropping back to pass, you know, on second and short or third and short. You have to be aggressive with your run game and try to pound it. And you had success running the football in the first three quarters, and you got away from it. To me, that didn't make any sense. You left the door cracked open for the Chiefs to take advantage of it. But I still say that the 49ers had opportunities, and the Chiefs stepped up when they needed to, both sides of the ball, not just offensively, but defensively, being able to get stops when they needed to. So you got to give credit where credit is due. I believe that the Chiefs took that game from the 49ers.
So quickly then, would you put this on Kyle Shanahan? Was he the one that
Listen, Kyle Shanahan at the end of the first half, it's a travesty.
Yeah.
You can't make – you are showing a lack of faith in every unit on your team. Your quarterback, because you don't want to run a drive. Your running backs, because you could have just run the ball and gotten in field goal range, theoretically. And your defense, because the real reason you don't want to even just run the ball and try to go score, you call your timeout, give yourself a minute 40, is, well, if we have to punt, can we stop them? And I thought the play I mentioned, Eddie, after the first down run, first and five, not running the ball again, second and five, 5.5 minutes left, is a killer. But I know, to give credit, Candy, you said something before the show, I think it's worth the audience understanding. You loved the Steve Spagnuolo blitz call on third and 10 because it was, you said, what did you say before the show?
Somebody's band is going to play. If you're going to blitz, you're either going to get home or they're going to score. It's going to be a big play, and they'll probably lead to them scoring quicker, which means you would get the ball back with over a minute left with the MVP.
With almost 2 minutes left.
With
down
former
three.
MVP Pat Mahomes. So to me, it just made sense on third and 10 and fourth and 10 to send the blitz, get after him, see if you can get home. And it paid off for him because they forced that incompletion on the one where Emmanuel Sanders was wide open, and then you get a sack to force the turnover on down. So to me, that was brilliant play calling by Steve Spagnuolo. Probably doesn't get enough credit, but you held the 49ers to 20 points.
Right.
I mean, that's their lowest output during this postseason. So I looked at it from the standpoint that Kansas City, both the coaching and the players executing, made the necessary calls, made the necessary plays in order to win that game and take it from the 49ers. That's why I can't say that the 49ers lost this more than the Chiefs won.
What do you think, Nick? Is this the beginning of a dynasty for the Chiefs?
It's absolutely how a dynasty would start. You get close the year before. You show all the makings of a champion. Have a little bad luck go against you. You use that experience to overcome massive odds against you in each of your three playoff victories. And by the way, enormous adversity during the season. Patrick Mahomes suffered a major knee injury midway through this year, and I'm going to do it again like I did 2 weeks ago. Shout out Matt Moore, who won that game against the Vikings without Patrick Mahomes, a playoff team, won the game against the Broncos, the game Mahomes went out. If he doesn't do that, none of this happens. The Chiefs don't get the bye. The whole world is different. Listen, I thought the Seahawks were going to start a dynasty. I was like, man, you got a young quarterback. He's a star. You got an excellent coach. You got all these players around him. And, it, man, with 59 minutes and 30 seconds left in their next year's Super Bowl, it looked like, yeah, this is going to be a dynasty.
I still don't understand that play called by Darrell Bevell. I still don't get that one.
And so sometimes things look like they're going to be dynastic, and they're not. But what the Chiefs have is the best player in the league by an enormous margin. Mm-hmm. He's 24 years old, one of the three best coaches in football. And Tyreek Hill is locked up. Travis Kelce is locked up. Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu are locked up. My guy Chris Jones, I don't know if they're going to be able to lock him up. Sammy Watkins probably going to be gone. So there'll be changes. Mm-hmm. But the question I would ask is, if I were to ask America right now, set the over-under on Patrick Mahomes' career Super Bowls, career, at 2.5, anyone comfortable taking the under?
No.
No.
Because three Super Bowls, if you win them in close enough succession, a dynasty. I mean, I think he's going to get a handful of rings, and the real question is how many?
It is a big question of how many. This is the Patrick Mahomes era. Yep. The 20s are his. And I'm going to say he gets at least four because he is 24 years old. The question is, will Andy Reid be a part of that? Mm. You know, he's 62 years old. You talked about the amount of games he's won, well over 222,
yeah, exactly
15
right.
winning seasons, only three losing seasons for Andy Reid. The fact is, now Andy missed, all he missed was a Super Bowl ring. So does he want to jump in the studio and live life and travel the world, or does he want to continue to build a dynasty? So I'm curious to see if he's going to be married to Andy Reid and who that guy is going to be, and so also Steve Spagnuolo. That defense was, they won when they had to. Wasn't dynamic in terms of statistically speaking, making great stops here and there, but they won when they had to. So a lot of things, a lot of factors go into a dynasty, but it all starts with Patrick Mahomes. But I'm going to say Andy Reid goes with the ride and they win at least three.
Yeah, if you got a good coach and a good quarterback in this league, you're going to have a chance to overcome some roster deficiencies. So yeah, even though they're going to have to go out and pay Pat Mahomes over $35 million a year, with a new contract extension, I think that the money is worth it because he makes everybody else around him better.
Yep.
And your coach's job is a lot easier. I think for the first time in his career, Andy Reid has a quarterback where he can use the entire playbook that he has. The entire arsenal is available just because of the physical talent.
Which makes it easier for Andy
along with the football IQ of your quarterback. So to me, this is an opportunity. The window is wide open for the Kansas City Chiefs, and I just have a hard time seeing Andy Reid walking away anytime soon just based on how special Pat Mahomes is. I mean, look at Bill Belichick.
Exactly.
When
that
he won
point.
Three Super Bowls
right.
in Tom Brady's first four years as a starter, I'm sure he wasn't saying to himself, okay, now is the right time for me to walk away in my coaching career.
He didn't think it was the right time to walk away when he won three Super Bowls in Tom Brady's last 5 years as a starter.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. He goes on, he's 15 plus years in New England. So I could see Andy Reid deciding to stick around for the long haul with Pat Mahomes. And they have a relatively young team. He loves the group of guys that he has to work with. He said so much in the post-game press conference. So I just feel like they have an opportunity to keep this pushing.
And if they can figure the salary cap out, look at the core they have. Tyreek Hill, Mahomes is 24. Tyreek Hill, Chris Jones are 25. Frank Clark is 20. There's so much. 26. There's so much optimism on this team. It's a young team.
Yep.
If they could keep that core together somehow, they could in fact be a dynasty.
And again, the Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu, and Patrick Mahomes are 1,000% on the team next year.
Yep.
They're all locked up. No matter the contract they get, they're not moving on from any of those guys. Chris Jones is a question mark. Sammy Watkins could be a cap casualty, and he said he might take a year off. He's like, I might take a year off from football. To your guys' point about Andy Reid, all three networks, Fox, NFL Network, everybody was doing different post-game shows yesterday. So you saw a bunch of guys do same interviews on different places. Travis Kelce on one of the spots, I don't remember which, said, we got Andy a ring. Now he's married to us for life. And his point was, we don't want Andy to ever go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what Andy will choose to do. He's obviously had tragedy in his life.
Right.
He obviously has dedicated so much, and now he's done everything. But Andy himself said he's back next season at the very least. Mm-hmm. And you do just wonder, this perfect marriage where the players adore him, where he, one of the most brilliant offensive minds ever, finally has a quarterback that unlocks everything he's ever wanted to do. Why would you walk away when it's the best it's ever been?
Well, you never know what the guy's thinking.
Sure.
I mean, you know, you talked about the tragedy in his life. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's time to say, you know what, let me enjoy the fruits of my labor. Mm-hmm. Maybe say, let me go out while the iron is hot on top. You know, you never know what he's thinking. And you think, look at his age, he's 62. I mean, he's not a spring chicken. He's not necessarily old. He's still a young man, relatively speaking. But, you know, in the next couple of years, he might go on a run. He might get close. He might get burnt out from it. You never know what he's thinking. So that's why I say it really depends on Mahomes and who he's married to. Uh-huh. Because the Belichick-Brady situation is historic and epic on all levels. And that's something I don't think we'll ever see. So I just don't know, in terms of the age of Andy Reid and the youth of Patrick Mahomes, how long that run is going to go, whether it's 4 years, 3 years, a decade. I mean, Andy Reid will be 72 by 2030. So at some point, he's going to say, you know what, maybe enough is enough. And will Kansas City get the right guys in place and so forth to succeed them. So that's why
they got a heck of an in-house candidate in Eric Bieniemy.
Yes.
If for some reason Andy Reid does walk away and he doesn't take Eric Bieniemy, doesn't take a job elsewhere. But to me, the only things that would make Andy Reid walk away would be family and health.
Exactly.
Outside of those things, I just don't see him walking away from this team, because it sounds like he loves those guys and it sounds like he has a special relationship with Pat Mahomes. Let's do it, Jenna.
24-year-old Patrick Bleepin' Mahomes.
There you go, Bleepin' Jenna.
Mahomes. I've been waiting for you to say that all year.
Took home Super Bowl MVP honors last night. Finished with 286 pass yards, 3 total touchdowns. He did have 2 interceptions, though. Chris Candy, you in or out on Mahomes deserving to win Super Bowl MVP?
Jenna, I'm out. And even though Pat Mahomes was spectacular in the fourth quarter, I mean, the first 3 quarters was probably the worst I'd seen him play all year. It was touch and go for a moment there at the beginning of the fourth quarter. So I got to go with Damian Williams, over 130 yards from scrimmage, 2 touchdowns, made the critical plays when they needed them, including that conversion on fourth down early in the game on that touchdown scoring drive. So Damian Williams, to me, would be Super Bowl MVP.
You are out. Eddie.
I'm in. I mean, listen.
Not MVP, going with the running back.
No, absolutely not. MVP is not about statistics. It's about shining in the biggest moment. Yes, he faced adversity early in the game, could have imploded, could have walked away from it, but he stayed with it, found a way to win, made some big throws, and it's all about leadership, defining moments, inspiring your team, and willing your team to victory. So, yes, he is the MVP.
I'm in. It ties. It was very, very close. Ties go to the person Nick Wright bet on. I had a major financial investment on Patrick Mahomes winning Super Bowl MVP.
That's why you have
him. And here's the other thing. Damian Williams, I don't think really would have been in the discussion done technically what he was supposed to do, which is go down after getting the first down on what ended up being the 38-yard touchdown run. I don't begrudge him at all for getting the touchdown, but the numbers inflated a bit at the end. Mahomes made the biggest plays of the game to give them the lead. I'm in on Patrick Mahomes winning it.
All right, on to the losing side. Many wondered if Jimmy Garoppolo could carry the Niners to a win, but Jimmy G fell just short, finishing with 219 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. So, Candy, you in or out on Garoppolo as the Niners franchise quarterback moving forward?
Jenna, I'm in. I mean, they're paying him $27.5 million a year. It seems like a bargain in today's NFL now that we're 2 years removed from when they gave him the contract extension. But, yeah, I'm in on Jimmy Garoppolo being your quarterback for the future. I don't want to overreact to what happened yesterday. I mean, listen, your team was still in the Super Bowl. Your team was 3 plays in the regular season from being undefeated.
Yes.
So let's not jump out of the window and throw the baby out of the bathwater with Jimmy G. I still think he's good enough to win with. And based on how good the other areas of your team are and how young those players are, I feel like the 49ers will have chances to come in the future.
Yeah. I'm in with you, Chris. I think he is the franchise quarterback. You talk about experience. This postseason and the Super Bowl provided experience for Jimmy G, and I believe he can develop into an assassin. I mean, I remember watching Steve McNair grow into that same role as well. Not definitely a passer early in his career, but developed into that later in his career. I think Jimmy G can be that guy.
Hey, I know this probably surprised the audience. I'm in. Listen, Jimmy Garoppolo has the talent and the upside of a big-time quarterback. He just makes once or twice a game a play where you're like, what was that. But then you remind yourself, he has started less than 30 career games. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes started more games than Jimmy Garoppolo. So do I think he's a star quarterback? No. Do I think he's a top five quarterback? No. But franchise quarterback, I think he's like the 12th best quarterback in football. I put him right neck and neck with Kirk Cousins. So yeah, that's a franchise quarterback to me. If you have the right pieces around you, you can be good enough to be up 10 points in the Super Bowl before you blow it. So yeah, I'm in.
All right, moving on for the first time in four years.
Little needle at the end there, Jimmy G.
Yeah, it was. For the first time in 4 years, the Super Bowl did not include one Tom Brady. He will spend his offseason deciding his future, with recent reports saying the Patriots are willing to offer Tom Brady over $30 million to stay in New England. Can you in or out on the Patriots offering Brady over $30 million.
Jenna, I'm in on it. The Patriots, let it be known. Well, Robert Kraft, the owner, let it be known. He would like to have him back. But those reports also said that Bill Belichick will have the final say. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to wait and see. But I don't think we'll have to wait long. I think this thing will get resolved in the next couple of weeks. And we'll know whether Tom Brady is going to hit the market or whether he's going to re-sign in New England. But the one thing I will say is the $30 million that the Patriots are going to offer him, that's not going to be his biggest offer. There's going to be another team that's willing to go out there and pay him more money.
Yeah.
The only question would be, would Tom Brady want to go to those other organizations? I would say doubtful, which is why I think he'll be back in New England.
I'm out. I mean, the player in me, I want him to get $30 million. I think he deserves $30 million based off his resume and what he was able to do over his career, but I'm out on it. I think that Tom is... with almost 55 years old, still throwing the ball over the yard. And, you know, do you want to invest that much money into a guy that you maybe only get maybe two or three more productive years out of? And him going to, like, maybe Tennessee or Oakland, how is that going to look in terms of overall culture? So I'm out on it.
Listen, I'm out as well. I just flatly, he's not worth $30 million in a league where its cap's $200 million, not the way he played last year. No reason to believe it'll be better. And if you're right, Canny, there's going to be a team that's going to offer him more money, then I think he's going to go to that team. Because while Brady wasn't always focused on making the most money, he now clearly is willing to hijack Super Bowl week to do a Hulu commercial and promote it the day before the Super Bowl, or 2 days before the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I'm out on it being a good move for the Patriots. I'm out on Brady returning to the Patriots if they're not his highest offer.
No, he'd be getting paid for what he's done, not what he's doing.
Yep. Yeah, paying for past performance is dangerous.
Drawing a blank now. The Chiefs won their first Super Bowl in 50 years yesterday, and though Patrick Mahomes won MVP, we'll let you decide. Chris Kenny, the most impressive performance in Super Bowl 54 was blank.
It was Damian Williams, and no disrespect to Super Bowl MVP Pat Mahomes, but Damian Williams went for over 130 yards from scrimmage. He had two touchdowns, including the go-ahead touchdown catch from Pat Mahomes, and then the one that he ran in as they were trying to ice the game. But the more important stat to me is 12 of his 21 touches went for first downs. So Damian Williams was a huge part of them putting together scoring drives. So I got to go with Damian Williams.
I like the fact he with the running backs.
Show the running backs some love. You still need a running back in today's game.
Yes, we do.
Still need it.
But the most impressive performance last night was the game within the game was Nick Bosa going up against Fisher, Ohio State alum. Yes, I'm calling the home card here.
Yep.
It was like, what do you want me to do next? The spin, the bull rush, how do you want it? I mean, this guy was fantastic. Tip ball there, got the strip.
He was
just phenomenal. Yeah. I think he might have been, if they won, probably MVP of the game.
Had they won, he might have been, but they didn't, and you know who was the MVP of the game? The guy who led another comeback, Patrick Mahomes. Through 52 minutes, you could argue it was the worst game he's played as a pro. Through the final 8 minutes, it was as fine of a performance as anyone's had in Super Bowl history. You do that, you get a ring, you win Super Bowl MVP. That's enough. Patrick Mahomes' most impressive performance to me.
All right, well, from the winners to the losers, Jimmy G and the 49ers fell one game short of winning the franchise's sixth Lombardi Trophy. Candy, the most disappointing performance in Super Bowl 54 was blank.
It has to be Jimmy Garoppolo, because all I heard the week leading up to this game was Jimmy Garoppolo has the best QBR when trailing in the fourth quarter. He had an opportunity with 2:44 left, all his timeouts, to be able to lead a game-winning drive, and he couldn't get it done. Now, Jimmy G had moments in this game. Mm-hmm. The second and third quarter, he looked pretty good. I think at one point in this game, he was 12 of 14 for 123 yards and a touchdown when using play-action passing. But when you don't have the luxury of being able to use the play action to manipulate the coverage, and you got a straight drop back and throw the ball, Jimmy Garoppolo just couldn't deliver in those situations, and he had a terrible fourth quarter. So to me, it has to be Jimmy G.
Yeah, for me, it's Patrick Mahomes in the first half. You know, he looked rattled. He was rattled. Something I wasn't used to seeing him be in those situations, throwing the ball behind the quarterback, getting tip balls. It looked really off kilter. And I didn't know if he was going to have the ability to come back like he did the last previous 2 weeks. So the first half of Patrick Mahomes was bad for me, and I also took the over in this game, and I did not. So that's why I'm upset.
There was almost a nice little garbage time touchdown for us. If Jimmy G doesn't throw that pick, I thought they might get a touchdown. Maybe in a field goal for the push. I'm with you on that one. One of the few bets I lost. I'm going to say Kyle Shanahan. Listen, Kyle, single biggest blown lead in Super Bowl history. You got your fingerprints all over that one. Tied for the second biggest blown lead in Super Bowl history. You the head coach for that one. The end of the first half combined with up 3, 5.5 minutes left, 2nd and 5. You threw the ball twice? Really? That's what you, after you make it clear you don't trust your quarterback at the end of the first half, you then trust him too much late in the game. Ran 13 second half plays with the lead. You threw 9 of them? Jimmy Garoppolo is your quarterback? It's not all on Kyle. But it ain't great, pal. Kyle Shanahan, you were the most disappointing performance for me. But really, I wasn't disappointed at all. I was thrilled with all your decisions, Kyle. Kick field goals on 4th and 2. Don't try to score before the half. I love it, Kyle.
All right. Well, with the Chiefs winning Super Bowl 54 and KC already favorites to win next year's Super Bowl as well, you could say they've got a target on their back. Chris Kenny, the biggest threat to the Chiefs repeating is blank.
I'm going with the guy that won the MVP this year in Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore Ravens. They had the most wins in the regular season this year, even though they were one and done in the playoffs. I do believe the Ravens will get over that hump. Lamar Jackson will actually win a playoff game.
I thought
about throwing Deshaun Watson in there, but then I realized Bill O'Brien is still his head coach. And now officially the general manager. So I'll say the Baltimore Ravens.
Man, when y'all going to respect the Titans, man? I'm going to say the biggest threat the Tennessee Titans, the team that they faced in Kansas City. They have all the elements. Derrick Henry's going to sign a huge deal this year, hopefully speaking. They have to sign him. They're going to shore up the offensive line, get some more complimentary parts offensively, get a defensive end, hopefully a cornerback and free agency. But I think John Robinson and Mike Vrabel are a perfect marriage to get this team on the right track to have a big 2020.
Just real quick before I answer, obviously I know this, but we have some very young viewers on the show. What team did you play for?
I played for the Houston Oilers at first, then the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, okay, the Tennessee Titans. I was just making sure. I had forgotten for a moment. I think the biggest threat's the team they just played, the 49ers. If Jimmy G takes half a step forward, that's the best team in the NFC next year. The defense is young, all under contract. You've got to Kyle Shanahan, despite the late game issues, his ability to scheme guys open, 2nd to none. They have a great offensive line. As you said earlier, Canty, 3 plays away from being undefeated in the regular season. I think it could be a Cowboys-Bills type of situation. Run the Super Bowl back again next year. And you know what happened in those Super Bowls.
Wow.
Same team kept winning them. So, yeah, I say the 49ers are the biggest threat right now.
All right, well, with the hard part out of the way.
Nobody said the Patriots. My, how the 2020s are going to be glorious. Don't even think about the Patriots. Forget the Patriots. Ain't no threat, New England. Sorry,
Jenna. Rare form. The Chiefs can now focus on the most important aspect of winning a Lombardi Trophy, and that is the Super Bowl parade, which will be held Wednesday in downtown Kansas City. So, Kenny, the Chief you are most excited to watch at the parade, for whatever reason, is blank.
Jenna, for me, this is Travis Kelce, and I love the Beastie Boys reference in the post-game press conference, meaning that he had to fight for his right to Lombardi. I love that. I think Travis Kelce will be in rare form when they have this parade in Kansas City on Tuesday.
I'm with you on that. Travis Kelce is going to be in rare form, feeling good about life, smoking black and miles, drinking champagne with some Hennessy,
with Nick Wright
with his shirt off, with the Chiefs on his chest. Yeah,
that's Kelce's brother.
You know he's going to come back the fool on parade day. Absolutely. Can't wait to watch him.
Travis Kelce's a great answer. I'm going to go to the other side of the ball. Frank Clark. Man, Frank Clark been calling people out, setting bulletin board material.
He
had an unbelievable quote after the AFC Championship game. They're like, what does it mean to win this for Clark Hunt? And Clark Hunt's the owner of the team. He said, I'm going to be totally honest. I didn't really care about winning it for Clark Hunt. I want it for these guys. We did it. He's been a great quote. He has been the big addition this offseason to go along with Honey Badger, 2 major defensive additions. Yeah. I think he will be spectacular at a parade that I'm – Hey, Mayor Lucas, my good friend Quentin, who I grew up with, one of my best friends, who's now the youngest elected mayor of any major city in America, you going to be at the parade. I might have to move some things around, but if you can, you get me on one of them floats, I might take my daughter out of school and go be on that parade
that's
with y'all.
That's a great deal.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Yeah. What is it, Wednesday morning?
It's Wednesday at 11:30 Central Time, parade and rally. The whole
Fine, I'll go with you. Don't ask me twice, though. It's getting embarrassing. Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.